I'm excited to be here because, you know, along those lines of whether your case is going to be one that's heavily negotiated and settled or whether you'll be at each other's throats for years in court, a big part of that is finances. A big part of that is financial planning. A big part of that is understanding where you are at the time you filed for divorce, what's been going on in your marriage financially for the last few years, and really what the trajectory is moving forward. Are you able to sustain yourself? You know, what do you stand to gain in terms of assets at the end of a divorce? Like, are you going to be left with divorce? What's your credit looking like?
Money really truly is just a tool. It really is just a made up fictional thing. But what happens is, especially in marriage, is that this thing, because it becomes so important to our lives, now we tie it up with the emotions of like what is happening in our personal lives. And so now when the unfortunate happens, right? My aunt described it best. She said it's like the death of a dream of a perfect life, right? Like you had all these hopes and dreams and thoughts about what you wanted your life to look like. The easiest way I think we think to hurt each other and what we feel like we've been worth in our marriage is the money. And so how do we split this up?
I help people who are going through divorce.
I will tell you that she does a lot of the divorces that are highly contested. People are fighting each other very heavily. Just know that, like, this is the attorney. Like, if you've got a serious divorce situation going on, like, she's definitely the attorney you want in your corner. Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of Financial Mastery Simplified. I am your host, Jack Owner Jax Kreider. And today we have Miss Faria Amin. So she is an expert on so many things, family law. She is a very high level attorney. I'm going to let her kind of dive a little bit and kind of give you a little bit more context there, but we're really excited to have her today. So welcome, Faria. Tell us a little bit more about who you are, what you do, and why you're excited to be on the show today.
Hi everyone. My name is Faria. I'm from New York. I always start with that. I moved to Texas 3 years ago. I'm licensed to practice both in the state of Texas as well as the Big Apple. I'm a family law and divorce attorney. I've been doing litigation in this space for about 15 years. I do obviously litigation in the state of Texas. I still have some work in New York. I do a lot of appeals and I help people who are going through a divorce.
I was going to say, but she's being very, very modest, guys. I will tell you that she does a lot of the divorces that are highly contested. People are fighting each other very heavily, things like this. So just know that, like, this is the attorney. Like, if you've got a serious divorce situation going on, like, she's definitely the attorney you want in your corner.
I know. Thank you so much. That's so kind of you. Yes, I definitely am there for the big heavy hitting punches in the courtroom. But as I always tell people, please try to resolve your cases. Please don't leave it to a judge to decide your life. And you had asked why I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to be here because, you know, along those lines of whether your case is going to be one that's heavily negotiated and settled or whether you'll be at each other's throats for years in court, a big part of that is finances. A big part of that is financial planning. A big part of that is understanding where you are at the time you filed for divorce, what's been going on in your marriage financially for the last few years, and really what the trajectory is moving forward. Are you able to sustain yourself? You know, what do you stand to gain in terms of assets at the end of a divorce? Like, are you going to be left with divorce? What's your credit looking like? Was your spouse opening up credit cards in your name that you didn't know about? And so much of whether a case will, you know, end up in court for several years or whether you guys will be able to like negotiate and resolve does unfortunately resolve around money.
Well, unfortunately, people, and I say this all the time on this podcast, that money really truly is just a tool. It really is just a made up fictional thing. But what happens is, especially in marriage, right, is that this thing, because it becomes so important to our lives, now we tie it up with the emotions of like, what is happening in our personal lives. And so now when, you know, the unfortunate happens, right? Like I know when I personally went through divorce, my aunt described it best. She said it's like the death of a dream of a perfect life, right? Like you had all these hopes and dreams and thoughts about what you wanted your life to look like and how you wanted it to go. And now it's falling apart. And with that, the easiest way I think we think to hurt each other, or we also want to make sure that we're going to set ourselves up for success and what we feel like we've been worth in our marriage is the money. And so how do we split this up? How do we go about this or whatever? And I know personally, when I went through my own, I was very, very appreciative to my own attorney because he said, look, at some point you have to decide what's more important, your sanity or your money.
Yeah. Yeah. I tell my clients all the time, I'm like, everybody comes into divorce thinking like, oh, this is like a really big financial cost, right? Like people don't want to pay their lawyers because I agree with it. Like I tell them, don't give me your kid's college fund. You know, you don't need to do that, right? There's plenty of lawyers who are happy to take it. But to me, in order to be a true advocate for your client and keeping their best interests in mind, is I push my clients to settle on the financial matters, especially if they can afford to, right? If I have someone coming to me that has, you know, a little bit of a nest egg and maybe they're walking away with 40-60, and they have the type of personality where they don't want to be in court. Maybe they have, a lot of the people I deal with are going through obviously divorce, which is a very stressful time. But they have mental health issues that are exacerbated by it. Like if you're somebody whose anxiety is going to go through the roof and your health is going to be impacted and it's going to impact your parenting, it's going to impact you at work, then is it really worth it to fight for $50,000? It comes down to, it's a number game, right? You sit there, you go over, what do you have? What are your debts? How many children do you have? What are their expenses? You know, is he a W-2 wage earner or is she a W-2 wage earner? Are you going to be able to, you know, get your support consistently? Does your husband or wife have a gambling problem? Like, you know, you kind of explore all of those things to see where your client truly is at. But I tell people like, sure, your kids, sell your kidney for legal fees if you need to, if your kid is in a bad situation and you need to get custody of them, if there's abuse involved, anything like that, right? Those are non-negotiables. But like money, you'll find money, you know? Well, you know, if especially, it's not worth the mental cost. It's not worth the emotional cost. It's sometimes there's a physical cost involved. It's not worth it.
Well, I was going to say, and not only that, but think about how long, like if you're wasting significant amount of time, right? Because court itself, right? Like if you're not settling it all and handling it all mainly outside of court, it can take a substantial amount of time and really drag out that process. And then that drags out the emotional aspects of it, your ability to make money if there's a lot of mental health situations happening, like tying to it. Like, I don't know if I've ever told you, but when I was in law school, I actually became a mediator. And when you become a mediator, you have to actually sit in on a ton of mediations and understand how they look and work. And it's crazy to me the amount of times people were wasting so much time over stuff that was on its face pretty insignificant. Like, I understand that there's like some emotional ties, like probably happening like with these things. But at some point in time, you just have to make the decision, like, what is more important? What is my priority here, right? Because the truth is that if you sit back and you allow yourself, I mean, we can get wrapped around the axle about just about anything if you really want to.
True.
And I mean, I got divorced when I was real young and we didn't have a whole lot, like monetarily. And I'll never forget, there was this, it was like a big entertainment center that my brother and my dad had built. And for some stupid reason, I have no idea why, my ex-husband wanted it. It was a gift to the two of us from them. And my dad had this emotional tie to it because, you know, they had built it. And why are you going to let him have it? And I'm like, because it's not worth fighting about, right? Like, I'd rather just build another one with you guys than like, go ahead and fight him and create all this trauma and drama and everything else. Like,
but you were really in a place where you could like understand that, right? And there's a lot of people who are so hurt by their marriage ending. And you know, there's very few marriages that end where people are, I've seen them where people are kind of like, hey, it just didn't work out. Like, you're a great person, I'm a great person. Like, we're just going to be really smart about it and go our separate ways. I've seen some of those and I think they're wonderful. And I think those people are very smart for doing it that way. But most of the time, either one person doesn't want the divorce, one person's been cheated on, you know, there's been abuse. And there's just this element of wanting to punish the other person that's really strong. And, you know, like when I was a baby attorney, I remember I got this case and, you know, baby attorney, I didn't even know, where they were fighting. She was fighting with him over a laundry basket from Home Goods. It wasn't about the value of the basket. It was like an $80 laundry basket, but she didn't want her mother-in-law to have it. And her mother-in-law, like there was like this cold war in the house over the laundry basket when they lived together. And she was like, you know, I just don't want his mom to have it. And I was like, lady, we're not doing this over, like, I'm not going to not settle this case where we've resolved everything over this like laundry basket. But she was so emotionally attached to it that it was really difficult for me to like talk her out of wanting it. And that's what unfortunately ends up happening is that people are just not in the right mental space when they're going through a divorce. And it really takes a lot of support for people, you know, outside of the attorney, right? Like I tell people all the time, like, I'm not a therapist. Like I'm not a mental health professional. Please don't ever listen to me. Even though, you know, divorce attorneys to some extent are social work attorneys. Like there is a lot of talking people off the ledge. Like I've had clients call me like very seriously. I had a client call me last year that was like, I will kill myself today. I can't do this. And I was really scared. And I sat there on the phone with him for 30 minutes on my day off. And I was like, hey, like, please don't do this, you know? And thankfully he's fine now and he's at the end of his divorce and stuff. But, you know, people have some very dark days when they're going through it. And then you throw in the stress of finances. And I don't want to undermine it. Like not everybody has a nest egg. Not everybody has parents that will support them. Not everybody is educated or has a career. Or some people I deal with like haven't worked in 20 years and they're like, where am I going to go after this? You know, those problems are very real. And I think that's where financial planning really comes into effect. And I see it more with women than men, right? Because very much so, you know, society still to an extent, you have these, I don't want to say traditional because they have evolved so much over the past few decades, but there are certain roles people tend to fall into. And more often than not, I do see my clients who are college educated, may have had a career at some point. Some of them, honestly, professionals who decide to take time off to be with their kids. And there's really nothing wrong with that. But the byproduct of that is you've now been out of the career or the workspace for 15 years, maybe 10 years, and it's really hard to reenter it. And even if you're able to successfully reenter it, you're going to take a massive pay cut, and maybe you've lived a certain lifestyle, and now you have children who've lived a certain lifestyle, and you want to be able to sustain that as much as possible. You don't, I mean, we're talking about the mental health of adults, like we're, you know, we haven't even talked about what happens to children in these, even in the nicest divorce, like what kids go through or whatever. And it's all very understandable. And I have people come to me sometimes a year, 2 years, 3 years before they actually want to leave. And I think they're really smart. And I'm like, yeah, get on your own two feet, start doing this, like start managing your credit. And again, to some extent, we're a little bit financial planners as well as divorce attorneys. But you have to do it.
Yeah, I think that that's so true and such good advice. I mean, we talk a lot on the podcast about intentionality and about alignment. And I think that with anything, step one is that you have to figure out like what that looks like for you, right? And have some intentionality, because the truth is that marriage is hard. I'll never forget, not horribly long ago, I was having a conversation with somebody who's going through some struggles in their marriage. And she said to me, well, you know, you're perfect marriage. And I started laughing because I was like, oh, baby, there's nothing perfect about my marriage. Not to say that, you know, we don't have a very solid marriage in a lot of respects, but there's definitely days that we are struggling and, you know, et cetera. And I think you just have to have some intentionality about where you are and where you're going with anything, but especially with money. And if you are considering or looking at splitting, divorce, et cetera, you need to make sure that you're not outsourcing your power to somebody else, right? Because we see this a lot, and I don't disagree with you. It actually very much upsets me because I don't know why, but society has convinced women that money is a man's game. And I'm here to tell you that that's not true at all. And number two, you should have an understanding because it puts you in a vulnerable position if you don't have an understanding. Now, I'm not saying like, for instance, even in my own relationship, you know, my marriage, he handles some of the bigger financial aspects of our relationship overall, because there are certain things that I feel like he's better equipped to handle. Not that I don't understand how they work or whatever, but we have just sort of, you know, divided up. Like I'm handling these aspects, he's handling these aspects. But I still understand what's going on in the back end. I still know that this is sort of what our overall financial picture is. You know what I mean? And I do have to have a certain level of trust. But a lot of times what I find, and to me, it's terrifying when I'm helping somebody and they're coming right out of the divorce situation. So often they have no idea. They have no idea where credit is at. They have no idea where all their money is, like what kind of accounts it's in. They have no idea, like so many different things. And I'm like, look, I don't need you to understand every single detail of your financial life, but you do have to at least kind of understand and know the big rocks and like who's responsible for it and occasionally be checking on it, right? Like just get, no, like quick touch base.
I know. I'm always like, what if your husband drops dead tomorrow? Like, you don't know anything. You know, I sometimes have these women come to me, and it's always been women. I've never had a male come to me and say, I don't know what my partner makes, or I don't know what the taxes said last year. I mean, these women don't know, literally don't know what their husband's income is, don't know what their joint taxes are signing, you know, what income is reported on those taxes. They don't know if they have debt. They don't know anything, you know? And then I have to work backwards and I'm like, okay, do you own a home? Is it paid off? Like, what kind of car do you drive? Like, are you guys in debt? Like, what's your lifestyle? Trying to like figure out, like, maybe I can place him like where his money's at. And, you know, I'm here to tell you, it's not impossible to find this information out. Like if you're in a situation where, and there's, you know, financial abuse is very much prevalent in marriages where there's physical abuse and emotional abuse, right? So that is, by the way, a part of financial abuse when your spouse refuses to give you any information about finances or keeps you in the dark about it. And there's ways to get an idea of where things are, right? So I tell people like, hey, if you have joint taxes, you can get an IRS transcript, you can request it, you can go online, right? You don't need to go badger your accountant or try to rummage through your husband's drawers if you're worried that he's going to have any type of reaction, right? When mail comes to the house, like, you know, maybe you start opening it, right? Like, again, if you're in a safe enough situation to do that, right? Because some women aren't, and only you know your situation best. And if he's going to see missing statements and that's going to lead to a situation, then obviously you shouldn't. But I do provide them with that kind of guidance as well, because I recognize that there's a lot of financial control, unfortunately, in some of these marriages as well.
Well, I was going to say, I don't disagree with you. So unfortunately, in my first marriage, my ex did control pretty much all of our money. Anyway, he was, it's funny, I actually made most of the money, but like I literally couldn't go to Target without spending like $20 and getting the third degree. And so I can definitely appreciate that. I think a lot of times women, if they are in those situations, they're not aware of how many resources are at their disposal, right? Like there's a lot of options where people can go and try to get some good advice, or like they can, a lot of attorneys like yourself, where they'll do like a discounted, you know, hour of time so they can at least, you know, get some information, like you kind of set you up for success and things of that sort, et cetera. It blows my mind though, how many people are outsourcing that power. And I guess maybe because I've been through it, right? Lived it a little bit, because I'll never forget, I had a conversation with one of my daughters when she was in school, and I asked her, what do you want to be when you grow up? And, you know, you're used to kids telling you like, you know, doctor or, you know, pop star or whatever, athlete, et cetera. And she's like, oh, I'm going to marry rich. And I said, oh, okay. You're going to marry rich. Great. And I said, good. And I said, so I got a question for you. And she said, okay. I said, so what happens if that guy drops dead or leaves you, or you're miserable and you want to get out of the situation or whatever, right? Like, what's the plan? Like, we should still have a plan over here out of our own, right? Of what this like looks like or whatever. And it sort of made her think. And I think a lot of people, they are, and it's sad that as a society too, we're also putting all that pressure on men to be like the only one to figure it out, right? Figure out the finances or whatever. Because we see a lot of times where people come to us, they're looking to do a mortgage or a cash out or something like this. And what's happening is their financial situation is really rough because he's been trying to help them keep up with the Joneses. Like she has no idea. And then, you know, they're in a not great financial position. And now with the house of cards is sort of falling. And then that is creating this domino effect of like divorce. But it's not like it was only his job to figure this out in their marriage either, right? Like it's both parties trying to like come together and figure out like how we make this work. And I get it. Figuring out money is not easy, especially when you're doing it with somebody who has different opinions of you on money. They were raised different ways with money. You have different kind of wounds and mentality around money. It is not easy. That's why marriage is not for the faint of heart, right? But it is worth the conversations, even when they're uncomfortable.
Yeah, agreed. And again, like this goes for people who have the ability and space in their marriage to do it, because abuse is a whole other, you know, ballpark, right? So this really doesn't include women in those situations, but having regular conversation. I mean, there's nothing wrong. You know, when I was younger, I would see, when I mean younger, I mean, this is like 6 years ago. Okay. I remember I was with these older women and they were doctors. I think I was in a room full of like eight people and like six or seven of them were doctors. And all of them had stopped working to raise their kids. And I had kids at that point. I had, my daughter was 9 months old and my son was 3. And in my head, and I was like, damn, I was like, what is wrong with these women? Like, why would you go to like law school? I mean, medical school and like practice and then just stop working because you had kids. And I have kids too. And I was like, I'm still a lawyer. Look at me. And my kids were babies then, right? And now they're older. And I have my days where I'm like, man, I wish I didn't work so I could like enjoy every minute with them and like focus on them. And I have those days. And I think about like how judgy I was when I was a little bit younger, like not knowing like what the future held and stuff. So there is nothing wrong with like not working. Like I want to make that really clear, right? Like there's nothing wrong with like not working or relying on your partner for support. Like we all have a role to play. And that actually is why when you get a divorce, it's called the community estate. It's not called the estate of your husband, right? Because you know, public policy recognizes that marriage is a union. It's a partnership, right? So your labor may not be, you know, it's not, your contributions may not be financial necessarily in the marriage, but like there's so much value to like you making your house a home and raising the children and providing support to your spouse, you know, whether they're going through their educational training or actually working, you know, giving them a clean bed to sleep in, warm food on the table, like all of that. So, you know, there is, that's actually priceless. Like we all know that, right? Like the amount of time a homemaker puts in, like you can't really put a dollar value on that, right? But, you know, you should, like you said, like have an idea of like what your finances are. And I have found, right, doing divorce for 15 years, like I'm definitely seeing a shift in myself where I'm really becoming such a proponent of like mediation, collaborative divorce, wanting people to settle and like really pushing people to like not go through the court system, right? I respect our judges. I respect the laws that we have. But the reality is that litigating is such a wild card. You can go in front of a judge you think you know really well. You could be a phenomenal attorney. You could prep your client really well. You could have a strong case and you can still walk away with an outcome that you didn't expect. It's really not, litigation is not for the faint of heart. I really prep my clients. I prep them for cross. I prep them for everything. And, you know, they come out and they're like, whoa, what was that? Right. So I have like really started pushing people towards like resolving. And I have found that it's a lot easier to do in cases where people just know about the finances, not manage, but they just know. Because one of the other things that knowing does is that it prevents dissipation or waste, right? So like if you have a partner who has a tendency to gamble, or, you know, I've definitely talked to people who are thinking of leaving who come to me and that are kind of like, hey, I have all this money. Like, what should I do with it? And I'm like, hey, like, I can't tell you, like, I'm not going to give you advice on like how to hide your money, right? That's what they come to you for. It's not ethical. We as attorneys shouldn't be doing that. But I do like have people come to me, they're like, oh, that's my mother's property. And I'm like, okay, when did your mother get this property? And it's like conveniently like 2 years before they filed for, like they literally plan it, right? They're like, all right, I'm going to leave this person in 2 years. I'm going to, you know, systematically, like I had this guy come to me once that like took out $2,000 in cash from the account every month for like 3 years. And like couldn't explain what that was for. And it was very clear that he was just trying to drain the account. So you see a lot of that as well, right? So if you have a partner that is in the know, you're less likely going to do that, or you will see it. You'll see it sooner and you'll be like, hey, where's our money going? And you'll be in a better position at that time to be like, hey, I'm going to nip this in the bud. You know?
Oh, yes. No. And I mean, I think that's super important for us to mention that there's nothing wrong with one party not working. Like neither one of us are suggesting that if you don't work, because I've had several people that I know who like we've had stay-at-home dads and stay-at-home moms. Like my sister-in-law is a stay-at-home mom and that really works well for her and my brother. But they both make all the financial decisions together. It is the joint marital income, right? Like my brother is not just making every decision like for them. And then I have another really good friend who I graduated high school with and his wife is an attorney. She had the opportunity to take a really big job, but they wanted their boys raised by their parents. Like that was very important to them. And so he chose to take a step back and be a stay-at-home dad. And so I think it's wonderful that we're living in a society where we can make these wonderful decisions for our families, whatever they may be, right? And there's nothing wrong with them. What we're suggesting is that if you're not in a situation where abuse is rampant and happening, right? And that's a different situation. And you absolutely should be seeking some sort of counseling type help and organizational type help. There's tons of organizations that are safe spaces for you that you can go to and they can help you walk out of these situations and scenarios. But if you're in a marriage that maybe isn't exactly where it should be, but it's on the healthier-ish side, right? Like we'll say that it's definitely out of the abuse realm, then yes, like you should be empowering your marriage by having conversations about finances. And if you're not on the same page, if you are thinking that maybe we're gonna split, right? Then just having an understanding of where everything is lying, like how is it looking, right? If you're both realistic, which again, that doesn't always happen. Let's be real, right? Sometimes somebody is just gonna hold on for dear life to that relationship, regardless of what is going on with the other person. You can have conversations if that does have to happen and split, so that when you do come, right, to the divorce attorney and you say, you know, hey, we're done, you can come to these collaborative kind of situations. It's better not just for the two of you, but if there are children involved, it's hugely better for the kids to like see a collaborative parent situation than this crazy divide. And oftentimes, and this is the thing that even though I'm definitely not a divorce attorney, I'm not a licensed attorney by any stretch, the thing that I always encourage people who are going through this process is try to take yourself out of it a little bit and try to think about it from a logical aspect. I understand there's a lot of emotions happening. I get it, right? Like cheating or crazy situations. Maybe one person had a gambling problem or a shopping problem or a whatever it is kind of problem, right? That is creating, you know, challenge and turmoil in relationships. But the truth is, regardless if you believe this or not, it always takes two to tango a little bit, right? There was always decisions that each one of us made. And so pull yourself out of it and ask yourself, like, how do I walk away from this, you know, not only emotionally, but financially, where we're, you know, as fair as we can be, as divided as we can be in a positive way. I think it is more capable and more possible than you believe if you really do try to take yourself out of it and try to strip the emotion away from it and the hurt and just look at it from a very like, okay, here's what it is situation.
Yeah. I tell my clients, you know, I have a lot of people wanting to litigate when they shouldn't, right? And as attorneys, we can't bring frivolous claims. Like we obviously have an ethical duty to not litigate for the sake of litigating. Like I'm not a hired gun. If somebody wants me, I recently had a client tell me he wanted to raise some issue in court. And I was like, yeah, I will not be doing that. You can go hire somebody else. Like that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I was like, I will not be ruining my reputation by making that argument in court. So you know, we definitely have an ethical obligation to not put forward frivolous claims, but there's a lot of claims that aren't necessarily frivolous. Maybe they're not the best, but they're a claim. You know, the law gives the people the ability to move forward on it, but it doesn't mean it's a good idea. You know, I think that, and I say to my clients, I was like, you know, she wants or he wants XYZ amount of money. You can either pay me $30,000-$40,000 to go to trial and say she shouldn't get it, or you should like offer half of it and just like be happy and move on with your life and get divorced, right? And I've actually had people say, I'd rather pay you like $100,000 than like give that, you know, insert expletive, a dime or whatever. And, you know, for people like that, I think you kind of make your own bed. And even in situations where you get the best possible outcome. I did a case last year and it was a hard case. There's every issue you can think involved in it. There were businesses, there were kids, there was alimony issues, like just a lot of assets. And it was a long 4-day trial and I had co-counsel on it. It was a big case and we worked really hard and we got a really, really great result. You know, like we did really well. But no, like nobody's happy at the end of it, right? Like people are still divorced. Both sides were out like $300,000-$400,000 in legal fees collectively. And I don't know that like the result was so different than if they would have just honestly negotiated. And we pushed a lot. Like our client really wanted to settle. He didn't want to go to trial. We made some great offers to the other side. And she actually ended up doing worse at trial. Like the financial offers we made were better. And he wasn't necessarily happy that he won either, right? Like it's just, I don't know. It's really hard. It's really hard.
Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this message from our sponsors.
Imagine having the power to control your financial destiny, no matter where you start. Welcome to the Financial Mastery Simplified course and resource platform, where financial education is tailored to your unique journey. We cover everything you need, from basic budgeting and saving strategies to advanced investing and retirement planning. Learn at your own pace with lessons that match your level of experience. Whether you're a beginner or looking to enhance your financial knowledge, join our community of learners and benefit from shared insights and expert guidance. The Financial Mastery Simplified Course and Resource Platform equips you with the skills and confidence to take charge of your financial future. Ready to master your finances? Enroll in our courses today at the Financial Mastery Simplified Course and Resource Platform. Start your path to financial independence now.
Visit us at fms.tips and fms.college for more information.
Hello, and welcome to PBJ Mortgage, where your homeownership dreams become reality. Today, we want to share why choosing PBJ Mortgage is the right choice for your home financing needs. At PBJ Mortgage, we're built on a foundation of values that drive us every day. Our commitment to educate, empathize, and empower our clients sets us apart in the mortgage industry. Our clients are at the heart of everything we do, and their success stories speak volumes. With years of experience, our team possesses in-depth knowledge of the mortgage programs, ensuring you receive expert guidance and the best possible rates. We offer a diverse range of loan options to suit your unique needs, including conventional, FHA, VA, and more. No matter your situation, we've got a solution. At PBJ Mortgage, we pride ourselves on providing personalized service. Our dedicated loan officers are here to guide you every step of the way, making the process as smooth as making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. We understand that time is of the essence, which is why we've streamlined our processes for efficiency and convenience. Transparency and clear communication are paramount. You'll always know where you stand throughout your mortgage journey. Reach out to us today to set up a call to discover your options. If you're ready to make your home ownership dreams a reality, contact PBJ Mortgage today. Let us empower you during this exciting journey. Phone number 4-693-733-107, www.pbjteam.com. Visit our website or give us a call to get started. We look forward to helping you secure your future home. PBJ Mortgage, where home begins.
Thanks for your patience.
Well, I was going to say, so whenever people come to us after they're divorced and, you know, we're having to deal with the mortgage piece, which, you know, because that's usually one of the larger assets that people are dealing with.
Yeah.
And you know, as well as anybody else, that usually the options are sale of the house, right? And so then people are potentially buying other houses. That's one option, or finding other lodging. Two, somebody is keeping it. And if there's a mortgage on it, a lot of times we have to redo that. We have to redo that mortgage, get it out of both the parties' names and into only one or whatever, right? And so when these things happen, what's so interesting is I always tell people, I'm like, look, divorce, it's congratulations and I'm sorry. And it's a little bit of both, because by the time you're at the end of it, it is congratulations because you're just ready for it to be done. Like you're ready for like the dust to settle. But it's also, I'm sorry, because regardless if you were the one who wanted it or not, like nobody stood at the altar of whatever, you know, religious or non-religious institution and basically vowed to love this person for the rest of their life and thought to themselves like, man, you know what I want to do in a few years? Like, let's get divorced. Like, that sounds like a fun experience. Like, yeah. I'd like to just give the divorce attorney all my money and split up all my stuff and create emotional turmoil for my children. Like, nobody thinks that, right? And so that's why it's so important to like step back and try to pull yourself out of it and try to be intentional and aligned in the best way you can. Because no matter what way it goes, it's not going to be a fun experience. Like, it's not going to be like a ride at Disneyland. That is not going to be the situation or scenario unless you have some serious mental health issues and you think that that's the case. It's just,
I know. And I think like it's, you know, I grew up in the era of, and it's still like Disney movie, like the Disney movies were all like love stories and happily ever after and stuff. Right. So like you're right. Like we do all have this idea, like going into a marriage, right. Even if you're not a romantic, like this is something that you're committed to and you want to be in the long run. But you also can't ignore the statistics and the facts, right? Like more marriages than not end up in divorce. And I actually love doing prenups. I push them on everyone. Like if one of my friend's kids is getting married, I'm like, oh, it's my wedding gift, but I'm giving you a prenup, right? And because like, they're just so critical for like your financial planning at the end of a divorce. And if you can just set aside the financial issues, it makes everything else easier, right? So like in a prenup, you can't contract away custodial rights and stuff, like all of that is against public policy. So you may still end up in court, right? It's very possible if you can't figure out the custody portion of it, you may still end up in court. But what settling the financial issues does is that it removes the power of using finances to force someone's hand in the custody end of it. So I'll give you an example of something, unfortunately, that I see a lot, right? You have women who may have been, and again, like if I'm saying women, I just putting out a disclaimer, 99.9% of my experience has been that this is happening with women and not with men, right? And this is not to say like men can't be victims of abuse. Obviously, there are men who are victims of domestic violence. It's just the statistics are incredibly small. So for the sake of conversation, I'm going to say she or women, right? So you see these women who were the primary caregivers of the children, not just primary, let's be really honest here, the only caregivers, right? You might have spouses who like never changed a diaper, literally don't know who the school's names of the teachers are, have never stepped foot in a school, like never did a bottle night feeding. Like they're the kind of dads that are like taking care of just the finances, which is not to minimize, that's a lot, right? To financially take care of your family, but they actually don't raise the children in a way that the mother has been doing. And now they're mad that she's leaving. So they're like, I want full custody. And they have all the resources, right? So then it becomes, I'm going to drag you through a nasty custody battle unless you waive all of your rights to my assets. And I've seen women do it. I've seen women like walk away with nothing because they're like, we don't think this is a good parent. We think our children will suffer if he has them half the time. The kids don't want to be with him. And the thing is, in a state like Texas, not every state is like this. New York is moving more towards fathers coming on equal footing. I mean, they say that that's the case, but that's really not. Having practiced there, I've noticed that like moms come in a little bit higher than dads do. And it's easier for me to represent women in custody cases there. In Texas, they're pretty good about it. It's like you kind of come in this way. And then like, if you are doing things you shouldn't, then you're going to keep falling lower and the other person will go a little bit higher in the court's eyes. But you have these people who do not know how to raise children. And that's not to say they can't learn, right? But like when the custody standard is best interest of the child, is it in the best interest of this 9-year-old to now be raised by the parent who literally knows nothing about their medical, their educational, never made decisions for them, never took them to a doctor's appointment? The answer to that is no, but it's often used as a bargaining chip. And I've like had clients even say, I don't want child support. And I'm always like, listen, that's not your right to give away. That's your kid's right. Like you can't do that. You can't financially put yourself in such a bad situation just because you don't want him to fight you, right? But at the end of the day, it's the client's decision. But when you contract your financial rights at the start of the marriage, and some people even do postnups, they're becoming really popular, it makes the eventual divorce, even with respect to custody and all of that, a lot easier and more fair, to be honest. And I really do push people to do prenups and stuff. And even when people are like, we don't have anything, I'm like, you don't have anything right now because you're in your 20s, right? Like, hopefully by the time you're 40 and potentially facing divorce, like you'll have assets to like be divided or whatever. And for sure, people are like, well, we don't want to spend the money. And I'm like, don't spend more on flowers than you do on a prenup. I'm sorry. Like, that's just stupid. Like for your wedding, right? Like spend the money on a prenup. It is like some of the best money you'll ever spend.
Well, and I was going to say, I think you make an excellent point. And for those listening who are considering getting married or you just got married, you know, something like that, because postnups are an option. If you don't know what that is, It's basically like a prenup that's done after the marriage has already taken place, right? And so it's just kind of to help people who may not know what those words mean kind of understand. Yeah. But I get it. It doesn't feel sexy, right? Like, well, we're in love and like, we don't want to think about that. But remember, like, the intentional decision, right, to take steps to protect yourself, your relationship, your potential or future children, right? Like all of these things. I mean, it is so important. Like it always makes me laugh when people don't consider doing wills or estates, trust or any of these things or whatever. And I'm like, guys, look, here's a reality. There's a couple of truths in life, and that's death and taxes. And so like, why are we not preparing for the eventuality that is coming for you? Right. And so, yes, we hope in the marriage situation that a prenup or a postnup is never needed. But like you said, from the numbers perspective, it is an unfortunate reality that most marriages will end in divorce. So it's better to just like have it and not need it than need it and not have it. And now we're literally spending, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars on attorneys. And like, let's be real, you know, I mean, you're a wonderful and amazing person. Yeah. We love you. But like, I don't want to give all my money to you, right? To split up my marriage. And the truth is, as you've already said, because you are an attorney that actually cares about her clients, you ethically, that's not what you're looking for. You're looking for, hey, let me receive the money that I need to be able to help you settle this reasonably and then get out. Like, you know what I mean? And so I think that so many people, they just don't want to plan because they don't want to think about it. Yeah. But you are doing so much more for yourself, for your life, for your finances, for all of the things. If you literally will just step back and again, have some intentionality there and then look, what is in alignment? Because I guarantee you, most people are going to find that they're way more aligned with having a plan and knowing what that's going to look like and what the eventuality might be than, we're just going to let life play itself out and fingers crossed, it's all going to go well.
And if you're going to do financial planning earlier on in your marriage, right? And a lot of times people want to do prenups and stuff. And I have to just quickly add that I do think the taboo around it is changing. I think for a lot of societies and for a lot of communities, it's just considered like, why would you even think about talking about a prenup is like saying you want to get a divorce, which is obviously like nonsensical.
Absolutely.
But that's also changing. Like I've noticed, like I'm from the Muslim community and the divorce rates in the Muslim community are very much on the rise as well. Like I don't think they're too far behind like the national divorce rate. And I have people who are a little bit older than me, and I don't care, I'll tell you how old I am. I'm 40, right? So if my peers got married in their 20s or like some of them got married 18, 19, like they now have children that are getting married, right? So they're reaching out to me and they're like, hey, we want our kids to get prenups. So can you help us with that, right? Which is, it's so refreshing to see like now you have the parental generation that's like, hey, like we actually want this for our children. Whereas before I used to have people come to me being like, hey, we want to get a prenup. My parents are not on board. They think like it looks really disrespectful to the other family if we're saying that we want this in place and whatnot. So I do think that the taboo around it is changing. And people also used to think like, oh, prenups and postnups are for celebrities. That's also not true. Right. And it's a lot easier to negotiate when people don't have much to be like, hey, you keep yours, I keep mine. Or like, this is what the marriage is going to have to negotiate when there is a huge imbalance. And a lot of times that imbalance, again, is caused by the roles you take on in the marriage. Right. Like, unless both of them are working, both of them are earning similarly. And those divorces are easy too. Right. Because when people are kind of like this, like they're pretty much like, hey, we'll just keep what we have, right? It's really where there's that imbalance, right? So it's really to just really address that. Like if your goal in the start of your marriage is that one of you will eventually not work to raise a family, then that needs to be accounted for, right? Like we put clauses in there that talk about spousal support that may get triggered if one person decides that they don't want to work or they're underemployed because they as a family have made a decision that they want a parent at home to raise kids, right? So I think it's a wonderful tool.
Oh, no, for sure. I think that so many things like that, you know, like I said, I mean, people, I'm very happy to see that, yes, you're right, that society is making some major movements and changes in a lot of this. And I know that you're going to agree with me on this. And so I will say it for those of you, understand, guys, like our legal system is imperfect. It's as great as it can be, but it's imperfect. And you have to start asking yourself hard questions that if and when you end up in a court scenario, right? Whether it's just you're asking a judge to sign off on a divorce or like, you know, somebody passes away and we're splitting up an estate or whatever the case may be, do you want a third party that does not know you, that does not know your family, that, you know, only basically has this backing of the law standing behind them, making the decisions for your family? Because in essence, that is really what is happening in this particular case. And so you don't want to outsource your power in that way. And the only way that that happens is if you take some proactive steps to figure out what you want that to look like, and then use the law to your advantage to be able to plug in some of these aspects like, you know, prenup, postnup, you know, situations like this or whatever, wills and estates, trust, whatever. I mean, because most people don't realize that they literally can legally set up their life to run and their money to run well beyond them, right? If that's what they want, and they can put stipulations on it and all kinds of stuff. And so I think most people like control as a general rule and like to have control of their life. And there's tons of legal protections to do that, but you have to actually use them. Like it's too, if you wait till the actual thing is happening, guess what? It's too late, right? Like that doesn't work anymore. And so you have to use them when they're available, not wait, let life happen. And then here it comes at the tail end.
Yeah. And one of the other things I tell my clients is that, like, if you're going to get money, like if we're going to litigate this and you're going to get money 18 months from now, think of all the different ways you can make that money work for you now, right? Like you're going to have to wait to get it. It's going to lose value over time. If you wanted to invest it, you're not able to invest it. You know, there's not just the cost of paying your attorneys. Like you don't have this money in hand. Like these are just numbers on a spreadsheet till the judge makes a decision. And a lot of times, especially if you're the breadwinner, you're going to be hemorrhaging money throughout the litigation. The court may order you to pay the spouse that's not working. They may order you to pay the non-moneyed spouse's legal fees. So now you're dissolving assets to, because nobody usually has that much money lying around in like a cash account, right? People have their money invested. So now you have to sell stocks or crypto, whatever it is, right? To like pay for your legal fees, their legal fees. You're not ordered to pay child support. You're ordered to pay spousal support. You're ordered to pay carrying costs of the house. Now the trial is going to be in 8 months. There's discovery, there's depositions, there's like all this other stuff. And guess what? On the day of trial, the judge is sick. So guess what? We get pushed another 6 months, right? So I actually recently had a client settle a case. And it was, again, one of those cases that really should have settled, but we had a difficult party on the other side. And I actually made my client make more concessions. I was like, listen, let's look at the numbers, right? Like this judge is not available next week. We're getting pushed to January. You're going to be paying this much until January. And then this judge is notorious for not issuing decisions for 4 months at a time. So now we're looking into like next summer, right? What she's asking you for is actually a lot less than that. And you get to sell your house and get $500,000 in your pocket now. So you also, like when selecting your attorney, and I know it's hard, right? Because just like how we, like when we meet our clients, you know, I definitely don't take on every case that comes to me. Like I have a measure, like I'll meet a person, I'll be like, you seem like you would be okay to work with, or, you know, like we also want to be able to work with people that we think are reasonable and that are not looking to abuse the system. Cause you do have a lot of people out there that are like that, but it goes both ways, right? When you're meeting an attorney, I'm telling you, you should want an attorney that wants you to resolve the case if it's possible. Because
for sure,
I've done so many hearings and litigations and trials, like I've lost count. And I, to this day, feel my most successful cases where my clients are the happiest, where they walk away with the most money. And they walk away with having preserved their co-parenting relationship. Because again, that's another thing people don't think about. You still have kids with this person. You're going to go to court. You're going to go to trial. You're going to throw mud at each other for 2 days straight, saying terrible things about each other. You think you're going to be able to leave and be like, yeah, sure, let's swap weekends next weekend because your family's in town. No, you're really going to dislike this person. And it's going to, whether you're fighting over kids or money or both, like it really is going to lead to a devolvement that goes far beyond when your divorce decree is signed. Like it's ultimately usually never worth it. And again, that doesn't go for cases where there's abuse and stuff involved. Those are special cases. In those cases, you have to be in court and you are in court. Like there's not a lot of choices there, but most people do have choices.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. And that's an excellent, excellent point. Yeah, I say to people all the time, I'm like, you're going to be in this person's life for the rest of your life, truthfully, until because the truth is like, even after the kids become adults, right? Like they're still going to be, you know, marriages, graduations, grandkids. Yeah. I mean, maybe not all those things, but at least a couple of them maybe. And so what, you're just going to be to a point where you have pissed off and just burned down your relationship so far to the ground that that's not even really going to be possible. And you also have to think about the other parties involved, like the kids. So is that the damage you want to do to your own children? Right? I mean, I always say all the time, like, they didn't do anything wrong. Like, they didn't get to pick the scenario. They didn't get to pick their parents, what family they were born into. There was like none of this that they got to pick. And so beyond the money, which is obviously a big factor in the relationship, you have to look at that piece too, right? Because for better or for worse, they're not going to not be the child's parent, right? Like you can't change that. That part is done. That decision has been made. And so you just really have to dig deep and ask yourself hard questions. And so this conversation has been amazing. And I mean, we probably could talk about it all day because it is so important. And I don't thing that most people realize how important it is, because unfortunately, you're not thinking about it until you're getting closer to that point, until you're kind of like, oof, maybe we should be divorced. Maybe that should be the path we go down. But I do think that with some intentionality and some planning, things, whether it be staying together, getting divorced, or anywhere in between, can be done really well and really successfully and really intentionally. You just have to be that kind of a person. You have to make that kind of decision. And so tell the audience where they can find you if they want to connect with you, and how they can do that.
You guys can reach me at my website. So it's www.aminlegalfirm.com. So if you need anything, you can definitely reach out through there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and we thank you so much for your expertise. Like I said, I always find the conversations around law so interesting. I mean, partly because I went to law school. It's so funny because I never really wanted to be a lawyer, but I actually do love the law and I find it fascinating and interesting and all of the things. So hopefully you guys found this episode helpful, and we hope to see you again next week on another episode of Financial Mastery Simplified.